You are really attentive, ready to hear me speak. But I dread this moment as well, because I don't know for how long you're really going to listen to me. Two words, hear and listen. Concepts so close to each other that we sometimes forget to distinguish them. A month ago, I was on holiday for a week. I was in the Netherlands. I was staying near a nature reserve where I'd never been before. In the morning, I was awoken by birdsong that I didn't know. I did not listen to these birds, but I heard them. After hearing them, I started to listen to them carefully. Hearing is a prerequisite for listening. But hearing something does not automatically mean that we will listen to it or that we want to listen to it. A few years ago, a couple of Americans settled for their work in a big French city, real city dwellers therefore, who came to spend holidays in this region, and they stayed in one of our jeets. After a few days, the gentleman complained that the birds were starting to sing too early in the morning. He told me that he was out of the jeet at dawn, throwing pebbles at them to stop them singing. At first, I thought he was joking, but no, he couldn't have been more serious. He didn't listen to the birds, but he heard them, and they annoyed him. Hearing and listening. You've probably been with someone else in a room, and then that person tells you, "Listen, did you hear that?" There are two possibilities, all a bit daft. You answer his question of, "Did you hear that?" by, "But no, what?" Because one hears, but the other does not. It is possible that the other person dreamed it up, but it was just as possible that he had better hearing than you. A second possibility, to his question, "Did you hear that?" a whole conversation can begin. "Yes, but what was it?" Like someone trying to get into the house. "No, it's probably a door slamming with the wind." The other says, "But listen again." Together you go through a few moments of silence, and again there are two possibilities. Either you're shy and you're both hiding under a bed because you're afraid, or you're joking and you answer, "That's it. Do you hear voices now?" Maybe it's a bit like Peter, James and John. I read in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 17 verses 1 to 8. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was, transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Put yourself in their place. They see Jesus transfigured before their eyes, and Peter says, "Oh, it's a good thing that happened to us. We want to prolong this experience. I'll prepare a camp." And then a voice responds, a voice that changes the atmosphere in an instant. The disciples are on the ground, seized with great fear. No more thinking about camping and staying there. But Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid." What scared the disciples? Not the transfiguration. It was wonderful. No, it was that voice. And again, what scares them so much? Hearing that voice, or hearing what it says and what it means? Peter, John and James have just heard Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. It didn't scare them, apparently. No, it was a pleasant experience, one to be prolonged if possible. I don't know if they really heard the conversation between Jesus, Moses and Elijah. We don't know that, except that the situation didn't bother them at all. But when the voice that comes from the cloud is heard saying, "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased, listen to him," this time it scares them. Listen to him. It is no longer quietly watch what is happening in front of you, watch the actors, like as if you were in a play. No. It's a command which addresses the spectators directly. Listen to him. So, are you still in the shoes of these three disciples? It's been a while since you've been following Jesus, hearing his words, listening to him. Only you are afraid to hear the words, "Listen to him." Yet nothing changes from what you were doing already, being his disciples. People who follow him, who listen to these discourses, who ask him for explanations, who live, yes, in communion with him, even if they had already heard Jesus say many times, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," listen to him. I wonder if it didn't have an effect on the disciples, a waking up effect. Jesus is no longer at the beginning of his ministry on earth. We are already in the third year, the year of opposition. The first year of the inauguration of his ministry has passed. The second year of popularity also. This is the last year of Jesus' ministry on earth, the year of opposition. Do Jesus' disciples then need to hear again, listen to him? These disciples, were they, let me say this phrase, more stupid than ourselves, hadn't they listened yet? Oh, as if hearing and listening to God would be so easy. We have just read the story of the Transfiguration. Jesus met with Elijah. Then of Elijah, James says in his epistle, James 5:17, that he was a man of the same nature as us. But when reading the book of Kings, we first see that Elijah was a powerful, performant character. He threatened the king, the queen, and made the country suffer a terrible drought. He slaughtered 450 prophets of Baal. He announces that the rain will return after 3 years, and it happened. And then Elijah runs for refuge, and he complains to God. 1 Kings 19, verses 1 to 4. Now, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." And later in this chapter, in fact, after a 40-day a night marathon, Elijah hears a question being asked of him. There he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Oh, the French have an expression. It's il a un gros sous la patate, which I had to look up. It translated into, he was terribly upset. There, Elijah is of the same nature as us. He is discouraged. He feels lonely. What could be the answer of God to Elijah, this servant who has his battery gone completely flat? I don't know if you noticed this detail in verse 9. It was the word of the Lord that came to him. No explanation, how or what does he hear a voice? How does he know that it is the word of the Lord? In any case, the word of the Lord came to him, and this word tells him in verse 11, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. The word of the Lord is not in the wind, which makes a great noise. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. The word of the Lord is not in this earthquake, which makes a great noise. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. The word of the Lord was not in the fire. Have you ever listened to a fire, a big fire? It's scary. It's like mini explosions all around you, a scary noise. The word of the Lord is not there. And then in verse 12, part 2, and after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. There Elijah understands. The Lord's word manifests itself to him, not in a great noise, but in the calm, by a gentle whisper. Other translations say, the sound of a light breath, a soft voice. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? It's a question that we've already heard. Look at verse 9. There he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Elijah answers the same thing to the same question. The word of the Lord had come to him. He told him to leave, and Elijah did, and he heard all kinds of noises, some more frightening than others, until this sweet and soft sound, this voice repeats the same question, what are you doing here? Elijah, who gives the same answer, his depression, his burnout is not over yet. The first time, God responded by manifesting himself, not as a threatening God, but as the present God, in a gentle whisper. The second time, this time, God's answer is different. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. And that's what Elijah will do without any problem. What happened to Elijah? He knows the word of God. It comes to him. He engages in dialogue. God asks him, what are you doing here? Elijah needs to hear this question, to listen to it, to answer it, before he can continue on his way. The question comes twice. Elijah responds. The first time, God listens and responds by manifesting himself. The second time, no answer, but on the contrary, an order. Resume your way. Despite the opposition, this is the case for Elijah, as for Peter, James, and John. For them too, with Jesus, it was the year of opposition. These orders are there. Listen to him and continue on your way. And for us, hear the word afresh. Start listening. Know that there will be plenty of noise, that there will be manifestations of God, of his power, but in which God himself says nothing. Is he hiding? No, he manifests himself, he reveals himself in the sound of a gentle whisper. This other manifestation, when I am on my bed in the night and God speaks to me, nobody sees it, nobody hears it. The next day, I don't shout it from the rooftops, God told me that, he promised me that. No, I keep the words in my heart, and like Mary, I ponder them. I'm waiting for the moment when God will fulfill his promises. It doesn't matter how. He said to me, stay where you are, and I'll stay there. He told me, listen, and I will listen to him. I will not be satisfied just to hear. I will make the effort to listen, just like a disciple. Isaiah chapter 50, 4-6. The Sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The Sovereign Lord has opened my eyes. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Several elements in these few verses. In verse 4, God gives us the language of the disciples. To whom? To those who listen in the manner of disciples. God awakens my ear. He wakes me up. For me to know how to do it. And me? I did not rebel. I did not turn away. Again, this notion of opposition. To be a disciple. To listen and not to turn away. Well, funny text. God awakens your ear. Is this your experience? Hearing and listening? Peter, James, and John heard voices, and they found this experience pleasant. Then they heard the voice of God telling them to listen to his son, and they became afraid. Elijah heard noises. Apparently the wind, earthquake, fire, and they didn't frighten him. He stood there in spite of his fear, and then he heard God and he listened to him. Not in the big noise, but in a sound like a gentle whisper, soft and light. My son found a really great, infallible way to make his twins smile when they're a little bit grumpy and they're not very happy. Do you know what he does? He gently blows in their hair. And immediately they give him a big smile. God sees his servant Elijah exhausted and sends him a soft, gentle breath. Eli resumes his journey. The disciples of Jesus in the third year of his ministry have already heard a lot. Suddenly, a voice comes from heaven. Listen to my son. They have need to listen to him again, like us. It is the same Lord who wakes us every morning, wants to open our ears. Is this your experience? A few weeks ago, Pascal was preaching from John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you want and it will be given to you. The words remain only where they are heard and listened to with the ear of a disciple. God speaks. It says in Job 33, verses 1 to 14, however, God speaks sometimes in one way, sometimes in another, and we don't pay attention to it. It's our modern world. We hear noises all the time, but we don't listen to them. In the street, on the train, we see people with headphones. Everyone is in his bubble, listening to what he wants to listen to. Not really even to listen to it. No, just as long as there's a noise. Silence seems unpleasant for many people. They prefer some sound, to hear something. It's a need. My mother lived most of her life in the city near a traffic light. I lived there for 18 years, and I know what it's like. All day long and night, the brakes of creaky trucks, honking horns, stopping and starting of vehicles. When my mother came to our house in the country, she couldn't sleep. She was afraid that she was dead, because there was so much silence at night. Well, don't try to understand it. Two people sleep in the same place. One doesn't hear enough noise, like my mother. The other, like the American, finds that birds make too much noise. They sleep in the same place. They don't hear the same thing. They don't listen in the same way. And you? The word of God, do you hear it? Do you listen to it? The Lord desires to awaken his disciples, to open their ears, without them shirking the issues, without them drawing back and turning away. An order in the Gospel of Matthew, listen to my son. For Elijah, the word of the Lord comes to him. God was not in the awesome noises, God was in a soft, gentle whisper. God gives us the breath it takes to get back on the road, to continue the journey. He must still be heard. Listen to him. Consider this relationship and pursue it. Let's pray. Father, you still challenge us today. When we hear this word said to the disciples concerning your son, listen to him. Thank you for this Sunday meeting, which allows us to take the time to listen so that his words can remain in us. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Still today, your word comes to us as it came to Elijah at that time. We perceive your presence as a gentle whisper, a soft voice, which invites us to resume, to continue our journey of discipleship. Thank you for this invitation. Thank you for your word. May your spirit not return to you without doing what you sent it for. That's what we ask of you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now,